Hey, everybody. Super excited for this chat today around AI-driven customer experience with Richard from Pipestream. Richard, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon, Evan.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday, everyone. Super excited for this chat. Always an intriguing topic. Maybe introduce yourself and your mission at Pipestream around the changing customer expectations.
Happy to. So Richard Smullen, I'm the founder and CEO of Pipestream. We're headquartered in New York. I am South African, if you're all trying to place the accent, and started Pipestream about 10 years ago with the sole purpose of helping organizations empower their customers or patients, really any end users, to self-serve and to use automation, to use AI, and to use the power of the cloud and mobile phones to perform anything that an agent would have performed for you in a call center, but now letting you do that yourself. And ultimately, and you ask what is the mission, potentially doing away with call centers in the long term. Very ambitious and a brave goal, but something we believe is really possible if people can do things themselves.
Wow, brave goal indeed. And maybe share a little bit about the inspiration behind the creation of Pipestream. What sort of was the big idea when you first set out?
Oh, we're going back about, as I say, a decade. And it had to do with an experience I had with an airline. And I was at a dinner and I needed to change my flight back to New York City. And I was WhatsApping with my sister, asking her if she can change the flight. And she was on the phone with a representative, actually at Delta. And she was responding to me, giving me the different options. And I was going back and forth with her, and it was an interesting experience. And at the end of it, the flight was changed. And I thought to myself, well, why can't I just have done that myself directly with Delta? So using my sister and then the agent there as the intermediaries. And that really birthed the idea to say, well, why can't I? We have asynchronicity, we have messaging, we have the mobile phone, and we have all the technologies, or at least they would come. Back then, AI wasn't as evolved as it is now, certainly not as mainstream and generative AI in particular, which is a key part of what we do now. And yet, I knew a time would come where it would all be brought together and in such a way that it would be very accessible and commercial. And started the mission to say, well, let's do that. Let's go to every business that has someone performing a function on behalf of a customer and put in an infrastructure, put in technology that lets the customer do it themselves.
Wow, it's a bold mission. And when you started, pretty brave one. Of course, conversational AI powered by large language models have become kind of rocket fuel for this space. But when you started, what were the big challenges in developing next-gen conversational AI, and how did you overcome those in the beginning?
Oh, there were so many challenges. Top of the list was really conveying the idea and the proposition to initially investors. 10 years ago, this was unknown. Today, it's obviously mainstream. We use chatbots every of our lives in some format. And so getting investors to pay attention was interesting. I was also a first-time SaaS founder, having come out of media and advertising. So that was certainly challenging. And when we started building the platform, it was really understanding how to integrate into the existing back-end systems at these large organizations, and figuring out how to connect into the sales forces of the world, the Guidewires, if it's an insurance, the SAPs and the payment systems. It was very challenging. APIs weren't as mature 10 years ago as they are now in terms of webhooks and accessibility. So that was challenging. And also, there was no AI in the construct or the form that we're used to today. In particular, the AI that understands humans and understands dialogue. And so you're self-serving 8-9 years ago, asking the system to do something for you, and it just didn't understand. So you'd get responses saying, I'm sorry, could you please rephrase that in a different way? And so it was a big challenge figuring out how to allow users to have meaningful dialogue with a system that didn't understand them. And so we had to figure out how to replace the dialogue component with visual elements. So instead of saying there, my Roku is buffering, you could open up a picture of a Roku and do a little squiggly on it, and it would know that that means it's buffering. And so we had to figure out how to create visual cues to replace a lot of the text-based. Now we have both, which has given us this massive advantage in the marketplace where most people don't want to type. They're happy to still do the swiping, the pin drops, the little squigglies, and that tells the system what the user's trying to do. And it can also then come back to the system and say, well, tell me a little bit more. And then it can flip into a dialogue and then flip back to visuals. It's really cool. Our interface, which we call a pipe, a P-Y-P-E, is unlike any on the market. It looks like an app, but it's also got chat functionality, so it's this hybrid. So we replaced the chat window on all the different websites and inside the apps of customers who are using the platform.
Wow, that's pretty incredible to hear about. And speaking of the marketplace, I mean, this marketplace is on fire. I've seen market maps with, 3,000 companies across different niches and verticals in the conversational AI space. How do you see yourself? Where do you fit exactly? And how do you differentiate yourself versus so many companies tackling this challenge?
Firstly, we're automation first. And so we start on the inside of the organization. We look at all the business process. We look at all the steps that a human has to undergo, either themselves in a website or an app, and the processes and steps that agents undergo in a call center, and all the systems they connect to. And so we build what an AI automation version of that looks like. It's almost always much simpler, much faster, and more secure because everything is built around GovCloud and different compliance that we have in place here. And so we'll re-architect all of these processes, simplify them, creating this digital transformation, because it's such an overused word. And yet when you do this, you are transforming very quickly. And then what we do is we connect it to the front end and we attach it to a large language model that we then attach to an action model, which then kicks off the different business process back to where we started, and it brings everything to life. And that way of implementing, which we actually do on behalf of our customers. So one of our key differentiators, aside from the way we design from the inside out, as I've just described, is we have a team that augments our customers' team. We go in there and we do this all for them. And we build the integrations, we train the models, we fine-tune, we connect all the LLMs to their knowledge management systems as a full white glove service, if you will. And then after we've switched it on and we've connected it to users, we stay attached to the project for the life of our relationship with the customer, which in many of our customers' cases have been 5, 6, 7 years. We've got 7-year contracts with government. It's really a very long-term partnership because they trust us. They know that we're experts at this. So that's a big differentiator. Our speed to get this up and running is sometimes a week. The whole system is cloud-based. It's drag and drop, low code, no code. And then we've got over 2,000 of these little applications that are sitting in the back that are re-engineering the processes. We call these micro apps. These do anything from change a password to check your genomics results to troubleshoot your Roku to notify the insurer that you've had a loss and everything in between. There's thousands of them, and we reuse those, so they're templatized. And then we've got over 300 integrations into big backend systems. So think of a Zapier, but on steroids, or an enterprise grade is what we have on the back. And those are all templatized. So then between this service called PipeX that does the implementation, plus all our templates, plus all the connections, plus all the AI, we're able to get up and running in, as I say, in days. And the visual experience is unique. It's part of our 11 patent portfolio, which we hold very dearly because 10 years ago, patenting chatbots, automation, conversational AI was unique, and we've got some very strong IP. And this visual experience is so unique that when it's all switched on, it's unlike anything on the market. And so we're very proud of it. We've got a team of 85 people at Pipestream, mainly engineers in this implementation team. And customers include Procter & Gamble. They include Max, so Warner Brothers Discovery, AT&T. It's Clear, the TSA, so TriWest, the Veterans Affairs, healthcare and health insurance. It's really a who's who of the Fortune 500-esque companies who want to transform. They want to transform very quickly, and they realize that that happens by empowering end users to do things on their own and not rely on apps and websites anymore and not on call centers, certainly.
Phenomenal. This sounds extraordinary. And how do you, with those clients, kind of measure the success, the impact of the platform on the business? What are the kind of metrics you tend to look at?
And by the way, that's another big differentiator is the analytics part of Pipestream. Mm. Everything sits on top of a heat mapping system and a user traversal control center. So we're able to watch users traversing through the entire process from the minute they mouse over and click on our pipe interface to open it all the way through to the last action. And that could be a week later getting a text message from the Pipestream system saying, click here to get an update on your claim, and it opens up the pipe again because everything is web-based. And so the analytics are very, very robust, and we track any metric that at the beginning of the implementation, we identify with our customers as why they're implementing this. Are they trying to reduce volume into the call center? Are they trying to increase customer happiness? We don't even think about satisfaction anymore. It's a bit of an term. We believe you can actually see if people are happy or not. And so we measure happiness. We call Pipestream the happiness platform as a result. And so we can measure happiness through surveys, feedback, different questions that ascertain the state of mind. We can measure deflection rates from the call center, containment rates, speech resolution. We can measure repeat use of the platform, attribute it all to cost saving. We're a performance-based pricing model. And so if we prevented a call from going to a call center where it may have cost the company $3 to $10 for an agent to handle that exchange, we will charge 10% of that. So 30 cents to a dollar, allowing the customer to then drop their savings to the bottom line. So there's been massive profitability swings as a result of the Pipestream platform across a lot of our customers.
Wow, that's extraordinary. The happiness platform, something we don't talk about at all in tech is happiness or joy. So well done on that. And you have so many industries that you serve. I'm looking at your website, from telecom to banking and finance and retail. Care to call out any favorite children there that you have who are, you know, helping their customers at scale?
All our customers, we actually call them partners because we build this together with them. As I say, we have this team that gets inserted into the organization who becomes part of it. And when you do that, you build these very, very meaningful relationships and you learn the business. And so by doing that and having such a flexible platform, we're able to go cross industry. So we have everything from shopping malls to pharmaceuticals to streaming and mobility and CPG insurance, as you've mentioned. I'd say streaming, mobility, insurance, and that's health and personal lines, property and casualty, as well as the transportation clientele are very focused on this. And they have very, very ambitious goals to simplify their businesses, make everything automated, drive AI as that layer. And so we're finding those are the ones with the highest volume and the most desire to expand more and more on the platform. Part of the analytics also helps us find where are there more areas that we can build micro apps. And we have this whole Work Cloud Insights part of our platform that is telling us and therefore our customers, hey, look, Evan and this cohort of users are asking to do this on the platform. We don't have the micro apps and the AI trained for it. Can we quickly go build that? And if so, look what will happen. And that's how we've been expanding on the platform pretty rigorously, and our net retention revenues 120% plus, and there's really a lot of growth that we see. Again, hard to call out any of them. They're all tremendous and passionate about this process because they want their customers to be happier. That's at the end of the day, the ultimate goal.
Fantastic. Well, your enthusiasm is just amazing to see on display. What are you excited about in particular, either from a industry standpoint or from your own roadmap? Anything you care to share about where you're going direction-wise?
We are launching a live agent messaging platform into the market soon. And we are offering that to every single company that's using a live chat system, and it's pretty much free. And the reason we're doing that is because we want customers to not believe that that's where they should invest, that they should rather invest in automation and AI. So we're going to be offering this out broadly to the market. Anyone listening who's got live agent, live chat, it's there. It's called Pipestream Contact Center. It's a phenomenal product. Been building it for 2 years, and it's really a way for you to move your investment from live agents, from live chat, onto something that's basically going to cost you nothing, knowing that from there you've got the foundation in place to start building in the micro apps, building in the automation, switching on the AI, and empowering your customers. I'm really excited about that product. It's going to do wonders in the market because there's no reason why with AI, with automation, and these action models and everything I've described today, that there should be so much focus on live chat, live agents, and people helping people. So we're going to help usher that along by dislodging a lot of the incumbents in these call centers. So excited about that, excited about a next generation analytics platform that's got just so much more functionality, excited about the consolidation in the market. I think that while there's thousands of chatbot vendors out there, there's only a handful that can do this at scale, that can do this with the type of security required by government and other industries. So the FedRAMP types of regulation, the HIPAA, the ISO, FISMA, et cetera, which you need. There's only a few that have that, including Pipestream. So there'll be consolidation. There'll be a lot of cleaning out of the market. This is not a trivial problem to solve. We've been doing it for 10 years, and we've still got a lot to learn and a long way to go. While we believe we're the best, obviously everyone feels they're the best, we certainly have learned a lot of lessons and have a lot of expertise. And so we're finding a lot of our customers are coming to Pipestream after having tried other vendors, having tried to build this themselves, because they realize, wait a minute, this is a whole other world. When you're digitizing your business process and letting the interface be a dialogue, you've changed everything. And so you have to really understand the science, the cognition of the users, the mental state, the applications, and their ability to do this very quickly. Someone says, I want to troubleshoot, and the troubleshooting system is delayed. That's a problem. So all the backend systems, everyone needs to be in sync and harmonious. So excited just generally about how the industry is going to right size very soon.
Well, it is exciting indeed. And how do potential clients kind of get started with Pipestream, given a lot of people have some fear and trepidation about, disrupting the status quo of their operation and maybe, a lot of technical debt or legacy out there. Any advice to, getting started on this journey to true conversational AI?
Firstly, there has to be a champion. If there's no person who's willing to create the change, which, by the way, will create a legacy for this person. We've seen it now in 47 of our customers. The person who drove this has become the golden child in those organizations because they were willing to just go against the trend and say, we've got to do this. It'll be quick. And we haven't let down. As I said, we've got this crazy net revenue retention and this loyalty. So find the champion. Once we have the champion, whatever they've previously done, we can take and port over. So we're not saying throw out anything. And we have starter packs, and we have quick start packs to get you up and running very quickly. And oftentimes what we'll do is you'll leave what you've built, your chatbot or whatever it is that you're using as your digital channel, and we'll spin up a Pipestream instance, And you'll just do A-B testing. And as you see what's happening on the Pipestream platform, we start switching off the other one and weaning the customers off. So it's in parallel. There's no massive disruption. We spend all the time and effort doing it. We don't charge for Pipe X, which is that process I described, because we want to help our customers get there. And we also are offering the first 10 customers, and hope you don't mind us putting it out there, that want to do this, that want to test this, that have a chatbot and want to try a pipe and just see how this will improve everything, we're willing to offer them a free POC to come on and get a sense for what this can do. And that will hopefully incent everyone to do this, because it's not even so much about the business. Your customers want this. Your customers don't want to make phone calls. They don't want to go through chatbots. And if they do, they're most often asking for a live agent. And that's expensive. It's just not the way you should be doing things now with all the technology out there. And so hopefully we can be part of the change.
Part of the change indeed. Making the change so extraordinary. Congratulations on all the work and success, and onwards and upwards, Richard. Thanks for sharing your vision and mission. And everyone, thanks for watching. You know, reach out to Pipestream, take them up on their offer.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. Take care.